It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Lee Rayburn. Now to a personal story about how toxic PFAS contamination is affecting a retired couple who lives on French Island, a few miles north of La Crosse.
Jim Boyson and Margie Walker have lived in their home for over 45 years. In late 2020, they learned their well was contaminated and they wouldn't be able to safely drink their tap water.
So they stopped cooking with it.
They stopped brushing their teeth using the tap.
And they stopped tending a garden.
Jim is a retired trucker and plumber who enjoyed fishing before he learned about widespread PFAS in his community. Margie, his wife, says their kitchen sink became famous after appearing in so many news stories about the PFAS crisis.
While a new public well is on the way in the town of Campbell, Jim and Margie are waiting for the day when they can safely drink from their tap again.
WPR producer Rochelle Wilson visited their home and brings us their story.
For one thing, if you need dates or anything, you have to get them from her. But how long ago was it?
I think it was 2020 when we first heard about it. Because this is into the fifth year now, yeah, or something like that.
That's Jim Boyson and Margie Walker. They moved into their house on French Island in 1979, just after they got married. They looked forward to raising their family and growing old together here. But more than 4 years ago, they learned that their well water was contaminated by PFAS. Ever since then, they've been using jugs and bottles of water delivered to them every week.
That's our water storage area. Now I can't keep nothing in there because it's all full of water. So I got my boots in the kitchen now.
Looking back, Jim and Margie say the first sign of trouble was in 2001, when there was a plane crash at the airport just blocks from their home. Firefighters put out the blaze with foam containing PFAS.
The wells are contaminated with PFAS, the man-made compounds were used to produce the firefighting foam sprayed at the La Crosse Airport for decades.
I heard a crash. I ran down the block and looked, and they were spraying the foam on it already. I had known that there was two people in there, too.
Well, the accident happened in 2001. So we're thinking that we went another 20 years not knowing that we were drinking the contaminated water. And then when we finally found out, it was probably 2020 or 2021.
But they were doing it long before we got here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we used to see black smoke coming from the back of the airport all the time, and that was them practicing spraying PFAS foam all over the fires that they set. This PFAS issue got to bothering us so much because so many people, we weren't aware of what was going on out there, that it was that dangerous. But when we found out, that's when we really started worrying a lot about it. I went on the computer on Google and wrote down the question, where does PFAS go when you wash your dishes and you dry them? Or where does PFAS go when you wipe something off and you put the cloth somewhere else? And if it's always there and you can't get rid of it, if it's on your clothes, you're washing it down the drain, it's going into the river or wherever. And after I asked that question on Google, they just said somewhere else. That's where it goes. You know, if you take water with you somewhere else, like in your boat or anywhere, and you dump that water, you're spreading PFAS around. You know, how do you get rid of it? You can't water your lawn because it'll go down through the ground into your well, right back where you got it from. So you're pretty much at the will of the PFAS, actually. Our kids all drank it. Our company all drank it. We used to have parties over here. They all drank it. We've been drinking it that long. I've got thyroid problems, probably from that, because it started since then. So that's another reason why we're so enthused about getting this thing taken care of. You just get kind of a guilt feeling knowing that you were feeding poison to your friends and your children. That's the hardest part for me to take. You know, it's bad enough I know I've been drinking it, but my kids have been drinking it, my relatives have been drinking it, my family, my sisters and their kids have been drinking it. So it's hard not to feel kind of responsible for it when they don't have PFAS in their water, but we do, so. Anything we can do to help get this problem solved, we're going to do it.
Recently, Governor Tony Evers and the head of the Wisconsin DNR visited French Island to get updates on the town's project for a new well and to hear from residents like Jim and Margie.
Governor went around, talked to individuals, introduced himself, and he was filled in on what was going to happen, you know, where the well was going to be and how they're going to do it and everything else. He was real concerned about it, I think. I think he's doing what a governor should as far as this PFAS things go. At least to me, it seems like it. Seems like a real dedicated guy, and he's talking about the budget and how we were going to fit this in. And anything that gets done positive about the PFAS thing, you got to feel good about, because they can't do nothing but get better. It can't get any worse. So all of his work and all of laid on his work and how many other people are working on it, it gives us peace of mind of a sort. You know, the problem isn't solved, but at least they got a time frame, you know, to where it could possibly happen at that time. I just hope we're around long enough to enjoy some more nice French Island water.
I was going to say that when we went to that meeting a couple weeks ago, everybody that was there talked about how great our water was. We loved the water on French Island, not knowing that it was contaminated. And then you go back into the city and you drink that horrible city water. You come back here and you have a really good well water. That's what we thought. And everybody there at that meeting said the same thing. Oh, we love our water. We loved our water.
That's what makes it so hard to take, is that, like she said, we loved our water. This water up here was better for one thing, it didn't have any chlorine or all the other stuff in it. But now, knowing that that nice, precious water we had is poison, you know, that's pretty scary. We still, both of us still do it. We go to make a cup of coffee or get a drink of water, we go right over to the sink and go, a little words are said, but I won't repeat them. Then we go back over to the cooler and get our water from there. And 2 days later, you might do the same thing. And this has been going on that long, and that's just a habit that you have throughout your whole life. And it's pretty hard to break it. You know, you just take water, matter of fact, it's there all the time. So it's hard to adjust to.
Jim took us on a little tour of the house to see how their water is delivered and how it's set up.
Get them out of there like that. And then roll them over here like this. And disconnect that one off of here, put it on here, and move that one and slide the full one in. And then the empties, we can't keep them all in there because we want to use that floor space in there for something else. So I put the empties down in the basement. It was no big deal, but still they got to be moved around. But that's how I got to move them, just roll them in.
For Jim and Margie, not having clean tap water has changed what they eat.
I'm the cook here, and I've always ran in our family. We were all soup makers and stew makers and that kind of stuff. Well, the soup takes, you know, 90% of the soup is water. I got a little freezer down in the basement that I just kept my soups and my stews and stuff in, because I'd make a big pot of it, and then we'd separate it into meals. Well, I had probably 8 or 10, maybe, containers of it down in my freezer, and I brought it up and put a tarp out on the driveway and dumped them all right out on the highway and said, or on the driveway. I said, there's my soup now. That's what PFAS did for us. There must have been probably 20 meals in there or more. And I'll dump that out. I don't make soup anymore because of that. I got to take all the water out of that cooler, and it runs out like a little stream about a quarter of an inch. So it takes, well, I timed it. It takes 5 seconds. To make a cup of coffee, to get enough water for a cup of coffee, will you drink instant coffee? How much time would it take to fill up a kettle full for soup? So I just said, the heck with it. And I mean, still make chili and some other things, but I don't make soup anymore, no, for that reason.
I asked Margie about the biggest changes in her daily life when it comes to not being able to use her tap water.
I don't know what to say, because I am so used to it now. It's just an everyday thing. I'm just thankful that we have water. We have water delivered to us. We buy that water. And I just have to look at it that way, is that I'm grateful that we have water, because look at all the people that don't, the different countries and whatever else. I have to have a positive attitude about it. And right now it's been 4 years and I'm just used to it. Just used to it. People say, well, how's your water problem? How's your water problem? Well, we don't know when it's going to be taken care of. We don't know when we're going to be able to go in there and turn on the faucet, but now it's just an everyday thing. You just get used to it.
Occasionally one of my best friends is a barber. And if you want to know what's going on, go into the barber shop. So there's about four or five of us guys that go down there and they're all talking about it, you know, the PFAS water. They just, when they come in, how's it going now? How's it going now? And I just keep saying, we're still waiting. We're still waiting.
For Jim and Margie, it's not just about drinking water from the tap or brushing their teeth. It's changed everything.
I've been fishing all around this island all ever since I've lived up here. So if that water out there was contaminated, so were the fish. And we were eating them too. So we were getting a double whammy there. All the people I fished up here and then ate them. But there's just so many things that it involves, you know. It isn't just water, take a drink, and, you know, forget about it like you used to. Now it's every time water is mentioned, first thing we think about is PFAS. You know, so it's a part of our life now. Whether we get a new, even with the new water, that's not going to get rid of the effects that we got from the PFAS water. So we're stuck with it no matter what for the rest of our lives. And like I said, I've got thyroid problems, and I think that came from that. And there's other people up here who have problems too. So it isn't something like, okay, we got your water fixed, everything's going to be great. It'll never end for most of us until we're gone. So, you know, you got to live with that. I don't know, it's a life-changing, no doubt about that. Our lifestyle isn't the same as it used to be. You know, I can't go down there and catch fish now feeling that they're safe to eat. When you think about water, well, you don't actually think about it every day. How often do you think about your water? Never. You know, it's just turn the tap on, it's automatically there. Not anymore. You got to go buy the bottles, or you got to order it from Culligan or whatever you got to do, you know. It's a little bit depressing when your dreams of this was going to be our place where we were going to, you know, live as long as we could. And this water thing just kind of put a kink in it. But we're going to stay here as long as we can anyway, even if we got to drink bottled water all the time until this is all done. Hopefully we've got several years ahead of us yet. You know, I'm 83 and you're 70. Yeah?
I'm 78.
Eight. Yeah, I was going to say that, but I thought I'd probably be wrong. Yeah.
The municipality where Jim and Margie live is officially called the Town of Campbell, but local officials are petitioning to become a village that operates its own municipal water system, with French Island as their new official name. I asked Margie what she thought about this plan.
We didn't really know that this area was anything other than French Island. We didn't even know about Town of Campbell, Town of Shelby, Town of Madary. Never paid any attention to that until, you know, we're here for a while and now we're paying taxes and it's the Town of Campbell. Oh, we live in the Town of Campbell? Oh, I thought we just French Island, you know, French Island. But it's just, and do you know why it's called an island? Because we're surrounded by water. You can only get here by taking bridges to get here. And the French part comes from the French people, the Olivets, yeah. And Jolivets and a bunch of other French people, but those are the ones. But yeah, everyone would say, how did you get that name French Island? Well, the name and the island.
Most of we always just call it the island.
Yeah, the island.
Where do you live, up on the island?
Up on the island. Not the Paradise Island, but, you know, it's
whatever. Oh, it was every morning I got up and went fishing, it was paradise. French Island water was lovely.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
For Wisconsin Today, I'm Rochelle Wilson.
And that is Jim Boyson and Margie Walker, who live on French Island and have been relying on bottled water since December of 2020 due to PFAS contamination while the community awaits a permanent source of clean drinking water.
This story was produced by Rochelle Wilson with technical direction from Sarah Hopeful.